Good morning. Well, I want to welcome every one of you to church this morning. If you are visiting, thank you for being with us, and we hope and pray that you'd enjoy our fellowship as much as we are enjoying you being with us this morning. Hallelujah. So, this morning we started our super class. How many of those were here for the super class? Oh, we started last Sunday, so we're continuing. But today was more the official kind of talk about it or introduction. So I'm just too excited to wait for part two to next Sunday. So we'll just get into it. And those of you that were not here earlier, Jason, give him a big hand. Jason is doing an incredible work of helping everybody catch up on what they didn't get to see. And then also Barry and Tony and over there in the sound booth, they're also doing, give them a hand too. For these guys, make it possible that those that can't come to church for whatever reason, we can download a podcast and listen to it. And even for those that come and sometimes I speak too many things and too fast, it's difficult to keep up. You listen to it and then you get to catch up. Amen. Yeah, so now that we've done all that, let's just get into it.
Love you too, Jeffrey.
So, reviewing last Sunday, what did we talk about? So, we're challenging and talking about ourselves, about what is within you. And I just found it quite remarkable that God would take a man with a stick and transform nations. All that Moses needed was just a stick. And I believe you got more than a stick. You got more than... Anyway. For those of us that were here this morning, would we want to give a quick recap to those that went here? What were we discussing? This morning? Sorry? Reverence. Blueprints. 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 Yes, Gian. You're a gold idol. That's amazing. Don't have an idol, be the idol, said Papa Steve, because you were created to be one. Yeah, thank you. See, and what we're looking at really in my introduction of the speech and the talk today is that our aim will be to be better and effective at who we are. Because when we are better and effective at who we are, we will never have to ask for a dollar. Because a dollar will be a natural product of us being the best we can be and more effective in who we are. So, this for most of us, like I said at the beginning last Sunday, at the introductory class of our super class, is we're going to talk a little bit about money, finances, and we're going to talk about the dreaded subject of prosperity, which annoys everybody, including me. But then, of course, in reference to what I just said, if we are to prosper and be better, we got to understand who we are and our role and what God thinks and says about it. And last Sunday in our introduction of our class, we said the trouble most of us is we've got a very poor, bad, or non-existent relationship with money. We broke up with money a long time ago. So when we meet, everybody's flaring up and these conniptions and conniptions and things are going. So we really, their heart is to help us understand God's purpose and God's word and God's intent or intentions of us in every aspect of life. Does that make sense? So, this morning I talked a lot, or we talked, discussed about Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and I think that's all we talked about. So we're going to look at the more details of that next Sunday, not promising, but I just want us to skip to verse 28. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, 28 says, God blessed them. Okay, those of us that were here this morning, remember we talked about God created man and in two versions, the girl one and the boy one. So he's speaking now to both versions, the girl one and the boy one. I don't know how some people want to make things gender neutral. They'll have a difficulty in receiving that. Okay, so God blessed them. And this is why I can confidently say, raise your hands and say you are blessed, because it says it just there, that you are blessed. If you don't believe me, read it for yourself. You are blessed. Meaning his favor, his kindness, his heart is naturally disposed towards you with a sweetness that is just so irresistible. What that means is every time he thinks of you and looks at you, there is just a smile that just radiates on his face, because he's just so happy and he feels so good about you. Evidence, when you read further in the Bible, it says he created the man and female and he said it was good. He was happy. He took so much pleasure in what he had made. Megan, right? Yeah! He even knows your name. So, he created them. God blessed them. Okay? What did he do? He blessed them. What did he do to you? He blessed you. So, whatever cases and all hang around, things that come over us and people speak over us, you are 1 point better. If you come to a point of understanding and realizing, it can't hang on you because it is not part of your makeup. It's not part of your design, architect, build up. You're not meant to have it. You're meant to be blessed. Now, let's go to the main part without wasting much time. He blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That's where we're going to spend a little bit of time. So when he's saying, be fruitful, we all know what a fruit is, right? What is a fruit? Yeah, he's a fruit. No, without the loop. Yeah, but maybe with the loop. Okay, so a fruit is this product that is often oval in shape and has got seed in it. So when God is saying be fruitful, he's assuming there is seed in you. Because if there weren't any seeds in you, he would not have said, be fruitful. It's already where? In you. Ah! Be fruitful. Because when he conceived you in his mind, when he thought you up, when he made you in his image and in his likeness, he took his all-sufficiency, his all-self-sustaining, his all-self-replicating and reproductive in him and placed it in you. And it became a seed in you, so you can have the same capacity and ability to produce, replicate, and multiply. Are you following? You are a fruit, and in you there is seed. And the whole purpose and reason of seed is to have a fruit loop. Fruit that keeps on looping and looping and looping and looping so that you never know a day in your life without fruit. There should never be a day in your life without fruit. This is why God gave you the seed. Because he knows if you've got seed, if there is seed in you, you will never lack, you'll never go hungry. Does that make sense? And this is why he could confidently say, you are above and not beneath. And this is why David said, I've been young, now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread, because there is fruit and the seed that keeps and giving bread in perpetuity. And this is why the Bible never talks about riches without mentioning wealth. Because wealth is intergenerational. Wealth is meant to be passed on from one seed to another seed to another seed to another seed. Ever wondered why he never gave Abraham money? He gave him wealth. Money will go to Kemet and spend it all. Wealth endures the lifetime to the next generation. Ever wondered why there's so much teaching and writing and books and the gurus talk about wealth? What? Creation. Have you observed that most of the rich people, it's not new money? It's not new money, which means they didn't make it yesterday unless there are some, and it's possible. Why? When we come to the realization of the seed in us, we can plant afresh and begin to propagate new money. But for the most of all, it's a generational money. There is a word for that. Have you watched those movies where they make fun of rich young people? They call them the trust what? The trust fund brigade. Those ones we call, they were born with a what in their mouth. Well, don't blame them if their parents were that smart to keep for the next generation. Okay. Let's go back to it. Be fruitful and multiply. So say to yourself, I am a fruit and there is seed in me. So inside you there is seed. And because there is seed in you, you have the ability and the capacity to multiply. You have the ability and the capacity to multiply. Not only do you have the ability and the capacity to multiply, God commands it that you multiply. Because he does not take kindly to fruit that does not multiply. Jesus will make it clear. He said he will take the seed that does not multiply, chop it, cut it, and use it as a bonfire. It's in the Bible. Bear fruit or be a bonfire. And we'll roast marshmallows over you. The second word he's using is multiply. Okay? Number one, fruitful. Number two, multiply. Number three, replenish the earth. Funny enough, we are all very good at number three. Replenishing the earth. And probably the biggest misconception is we think number three is what God means in it all. So this is not about having babies. Okay? Number one and number two are not about having babies. Fruitfulness, multiplication is not about babies. Replenish the earth now is about babies. We are good baby makers. You should look at my babies. They speak of my skills. Nicole helped a little bit. Can I come with you after the service? Yeah, thank you. Okay, so the second word is multiply. What does that mean? Increase in whatever respect. In whatever area and part of who you are, God is expecting increase. Yeah? Increase in whatever respect to bring in abundance. To be great, to grow up, and to be exceedingly and excessively capable and able. That's not too much to ask for, is it? So he's saying, I have put seed in you because there is seed in you, and the nature of the seed is to increase, replicate, multiply, is to take the little that's there and convert it into great, exceeding abundance, not just in one area, but in every area. And he qualifies that by saying, whatever you lay your hand to will be blessed. Because which areas of your life is he expecting to be blessed? Whichever one you put your hand on. I don't think you understood that. Which areas of life is God expecting to bless in your life? Whichever one you lay your hand on. And this is why in Ecclesiastes it says, let not your arm be idle. Throw some seed, cast some breads on the water, do this or that in the morning or in the evening, because you don't know which one will prosper. Let your hand be active. Let your hand be doing. Do not confuse about striving with this doing. Striving is failing to find your rest in Him and pushing things in your own strength. This is about realizing who He made you to be and what He's put in you and responding in faith to what He's already put in you. Yeah, you can give me a cheer on that. Here's the other thing, Tony, it means to continue to enlarge and excel. People that have understood that concept in continuing to enlarge and excel, we call them, they have got what? Financial, industrial empires. So what he's saying is, in you, that was the message from a few weeks ago. In you is a dynasty. In you is an empire. A pizza empire, a coffee club empire. And even empires that have not yet been conceived or thought of, they all have a seed in you. And when you put it to work, you begin to activate that into coming into being. So, how far do you continue to exceed and excel? What are the limits? What are the boundaries? Because the word is present continuous. Continue. So, if you made $70 billion like Bill Gates, should you stop there? If you did, you'd be a poor steward. How do we feel about the rich getting richer? Don't resent them. They're doing what they're meant to be doing. Maybe you should get on the bandwagon too. How much money can anybody possibly have? The question is not the money. The question is your heart attitude towards the money. And if you understand that all those billions of money and thousands of dollars in your bank account are not yours, but His. And if you are yielded and laid down to Him and before Him, He can direct you to use that whichever way He speaks to you. Does that make sense? Here's what multiply means as well. It means to heap. Heap it up. Have many. And all this God said to you in one verse. What that means is God is really, really, really expecting so much from you. He's not just expecting so much from you, He demands so much of you. Having a job is good, but He expects way more out of you than that. We should all have jobs. It's important. But in a job, you get all you are, all the creative genius and seed in you and commit it to one guy at the expense of billions you were born to serve. And that, perhaps, is the greatest injustice in all humanity. And the one person you commit all you are to decides how much they think your service and the fruit in you is worth. Did I make any sense to anybody? And that's why you've never met rich workers. You only meet rich and wealth entrepreneurs. Because they get all the seed that is in them and avail it to the masses to the best ability and the sense of stewardship that God has entrusted in them. So it is more people that are in awe of the seed in them that demand and place a value on what they think they are worth. And now that is when you start talking about market and demand. You work for one guy, there's only market from one guy. There is no bidding and competition over your brilliance. Did anybody get that? Bill, did you get that? So you are so great, so big, so vast that the seed and the power and the capacity and the ability in you needs to be on a hill because you are born to be a city on the mountain for all to see and place their bids. And this is the whole concept of branding. That the degree and the level of excellence in who they are and the efficiency of how they carry who they are give them a better name that people are willing to pay 100 times more for. Okay, if you didn't get me, put your hand up. Yeah. What we are saying is, each one of us with a job, use the job as seed to grow the empire in you. Did you get that? Use your job as a seed to propagate and grow the empire in you. I've always told my kids, I'll preview into some our family conversation, Marco. Benji will come and say, Uncle Marco offered me a job. And I'll say to Benjamin, why do you want a job? And he says, so I can make some money. And I'll say to Benjamin, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You go think of a better reason to get a job. This is why he never came to work for about a few months after you offered him. He was still looking for an answer to give me that would satisfy me. Because the way we've been trained and raised is to go to school, do very well, get a good job, and work for 30 years, and then retire. Does something look right with that picture? And then when you retire, what are you going to do? Which money? Where is it going to come from in super? Here is a blessing of Western civilization. The medicine is so good that people live longer For the most of us, we'll outlive our super. Okay, now this is a little bit heavier. Is it getting heavier? Forgive me, but I'll qualify my point to make you feel happy. Why? Because it is not too late to begin dreaming. It's not too late to begin building an empire and a dynasty, because in your longings there is seed. Not just to make kids, but there is seed to build an empire. So, tell the person next to you, you are not out of time. There is still an opportunity for you to plant the seed that is in you. There is still time for you to begin to increase, multiply, enlarge. Because that's the God's purpose and desire you were born and built for. Now, how many of you believe that? Awesome. And I did explain a few weeks ago when we talked about Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We broke that verse apart, and part of it was you create what? A dunamis, which is a dunamis, which is where the word dynasty comes from. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what does he enable you to do? Create a dynasty in you and through you. You see, the culture of Christianity and church, we've been raised to feel embarrassed for having a business or trying or making money. To a point where we've rejected it and we feel, oh, it's not right. Well, especially of you that grew up in the hippie Jesus people movement. You even stopped going to school because Jesus was coming next week. And the next week it didn't come. And then the kids that went to school are more qualified for the job you should have, and they took it from you. Anybody knows that? I remember when I first came to Australia, Nicole's parents' farm, an electrician came. And that was his last week on the job. Why was he quitting? Because Energex ruled that when the field technicians go to work, when they come back to the office, they have to fill in a report using a computer. And he could not work the computer, so he quit his job. Anyway. Maybe we should stop or talk a little bit more. So we're talking about God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. So the example I was trying to say when I talked about a job is, do not place yourself in a container that confines and restricts your ability to be fruitful. Increase or multiply. And after a long time, why do you need a job, Benjamin? Well, to make money. You see? Oh, yeah. through and true. And this is why when you hire people, you want the most talented, the most fruitful, the most dynamic, because they're going to add value to who you are, and then you can give them $15 an hour. 12. You can give them $14.50 an hour. So in that context, you increase, expand, and grow. And they remain where? In the same place for the next 30 years. Don't feel guilt. Don't feel bad about it. You are just being effective in dispensing what God has put in you. And your pastor says, good on you. And the pastor says to everybody, do likewise. Are you following there? And it was a very long discussion. It took months. And I said, well, Benjamin, for the most of us, we have a job so we can make a living. And then for as long as we have a job to make a living, we'll always need to work. And this is why the government says, even all the old people to the age of 70, they got to continue working so they can continue making a living. If you have to have a job, I would like you to have a job from Uncle Marco to learn the skills that he's employing, his tricks and his tactics, his secrets. Go to him. Learn from him. Siphon. Suck it out of him. And then the skills, the abilities, the capacity, and the secrets you learn from him, using the $15 or the $14 or the $10 he gives you, you're going to use that as capital to begin to invest in yourself to build the empire. To build the dynasty. Did everybody get that? So if you have make money, you have a job to make money, that's where you fall into the dangerous category, which says the love of money is the root to all evil. We should never, ever work for money. The rich people say they don't work for money. Money works for them. Why? Money is a better hard worker than you are. You take holidays. You take sick. You do this. If the money is to work for you, it never takes time off. It never takes holidays. It never goes on Christmas and Easter holidays. It even works harder. Does that make sense? Am I speaking to anybody? Yes. I'm challenging not only you, but I'm challenging myself. So, and then I said to Benjamin, why should you have a job, Benjamin? Pop, so I can learn some skills in order to pay for my dynasty within me. I said, okay, go then and work. Now, him understanding that attitude comes a second bonus. Then, does it matter what job you do? Not in the least. I can clean toilets, I can do the thing, I can do all that. Whatever I do does not define me, because what defines me is the seed in me. Now, what if somebody had told you that when you were Benji's age? But the good thing is God is a redeemer and he redeems time. It's not too late, because whose head? Who's seen such a thing that in a day the Lord created the whole nation of Israel. In one day, he created the whole nation. So there is, you can never rule out or tell how much God can do in you and with you in one day. He did that for me a few weeks ago. In one moment, he changed my whole life. He removed me from a pastor to a movie maker. And then he rings me up, the producer. Oh, Charles, we're thinking about getting a few people making the cast about your movie. So we thought we could have Forrest Whitaker to play your dad. Anybody who knows Forrest Whitaker is? Yeah. The last king of Scotland. You've all seen the new movie, most of you, The Black Panther. He's a man that officiates the coronation of the kings. And say, we're thinking about getting Viola Davis or Octavia, the lady from Hidden Figures, to play your mom. I'm like, I'm moving from the obscurity of Bepengeri and have the award-winning actors to pretend to be me. And we're thinking to have David Oloyo. That's the guy from United Kingdom and he's won a few awards to play you. And we have a few other people. I'm like, man, it's like God's taken up the little me and holding me against himself to reflect me in him so I could see just the grandness of what is placed in us. And that just happened in a fleeting moment that I could have missed. By the way, the movie. Anybody heard about the movie Shame to Honor? He rang me yesterday for about an hour. It's like every time the producer rings me, it's just so excited. It's like, this is the story we gotta tell the world. There's just no hope. There's inspiration. There is life. Let's do this. I'm like, really? He's more excited than I am. And that's an understatement. Well,
he's hilarious. He gets on there and I can hear him. And he's telling Charles the story as though Charles hasn't heard. I did this.
But the point is, the more he tells the story, there is a stage of faith where I'm beginning to believe. Really? I mean, has anybody read that part? It's just at the beginning where I was stolen in the hospital. And then he begins to narrate that scene. I'm like, I gotta see this. All right. Well, there is black ones and the white ones. By the way, he will be here the first second week of April. Well, there is a few options and suggestions there, of which some of them you already know. So she's feeling important in her. Okay, so going back to what we're saying. Uh, I just want to emphasize this. Having a job is great. We should not feel bad about it. It's important. It's an integral part of development and growing. And it is also seed for the dynasty and the empire that God wants to build in you. The only difficulty and problem is when we get trapped in a rut, then we become little mice or hamsters on a wheel that will keep on treading it for on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I heard Robert Kiyosaki. What's the name? The boom, boom, boom. That Kiyosaki guy. Rich dad, poor dad. That the question we ask people is not what job do you do, but what business are you in? Okay, it's not what job you do, but what business you are in. Because you are meant to have a job to pay for a business and then leave out of your business. Because that way, have you seen the people that retire at 2 years old? I want to retire when I'm 20, more especially these millennials. They're amazing. They want to retire at 25 years old. They want to retire at 25. On the other end, you and I have been told by the government we gotta work until we are 70. So even these kids are getting it. Does that make sense? Okay. There's a lot there. Oh, thank you so much. Let me just paraphrase the whole sermon. Psalm 25, verse 13. Scratch that. Let me show you the picture or the illustration of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Will be probably be Genesis 26, verse 13. So Genesis chapter 26, verse 13, it talks about Abraham. And he says, the man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Does that make sense to anybody? The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow. Because what's the nature of wealth? It grows. What has God placed within you? Wealth. The seed for wealth. The seed for increase. So the natural being of your existence is to continue to grow until you become exceedingly. Okay? So the man became rich. Why did the man become rich? Oh, no. Let me show you why the man became rich. Anybody wants to know? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 8. It says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. All right? Remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth. That's not the punchline. The punchline is a soul to affirm his covenant, his soul. With your forefathers, as it is today. Okay, put it differently. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the ability to become wealthy. He gives you the ability to become wealth as a confirmation of His covenant with you. The one He made with your forefathers, which was true then and is also true now. So, why does He make you wealth? As the confirmation of His covenant. Did anybody get that? What was the covenant? I'll bless you, and thou bless the seed or the fruit of your womb. And through your seed, all nations will be blessed. So, by God prospering you and making you stupidly wealthy, it is to say amen to His promise to you. Does that make any sense to anybody? So, Lindsay, think of that barn you're making. He wants it big. Well, and painted. So, making sense there? So, prosperity is a confirmation of God's covenant with His people. What is His promise? You'll be the head and not the tail. How does He confirm that? By making you the head and not the tail. Your children will never lack anything, or your children's children lack bread. How does that confirm that? By making sure you've got bread and never run out. You increase and multiply as sand on the seashore, as numerous as plenty as the stars in the sky. How does He confirm that? By making you that. And this is why, consequently, we're reading here about the man who became rich and his wealth continued to grow and grow. But his wealthy became something that just everybody in the whole community were scared of Abraham. Now, here are the similarities between Acts 1:8. Or Acts 4, when the Spirit of the Lord came. That the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they worked with signs and wonders, that all people were terrified of them. Remember that part? And when Abraham increased in wealth, the people were scared of him. Did anybody understand, see those similarities, parallels there? Oh, they are just my own footnote. Okay, let's move on. We can go back to Psalm 25, verse 13 says, He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit their land. You hear that? You were meant to spend all your days where? In prosperity. And what should your children inherit? Land, which is also another synonym for wealth. Psalm 112, verse 3. Ready for it? Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures when? Forever. You want more? Proverbs 8:18. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. One more? Proverbs 10:22. That's my favorite. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no sorrow. Amen. The blessing of the Lord adds what? Wealth. What brings wealth? And what does Genesis 1:28 say? He blessed them. Roger got it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and brings no sorrow. Genesis 1:28, he blessed them. So with that blessing comes wealth that does not bring regret. And that's the seed we are talking about, which is meant to grow, expand, and increase to be far above that which we can think or imagine. The limitation is our imagination, our lack of understanding. Why is the pastor saying this? To bring understanding and break off the limitation so you can be free to imagine above and beyond, so you can come into the above and beyond that God promises you. I don't know how to do this, this, and that. We say today what we know does not make matter. What matters is us being the best we can be and efficient in who we are. That's what is going to bear fruit. That's what is going to make a change. And that's what is going to make a bigger difference. We can all stand. I hope you feel encouraged, because my heart and intention is not to make you feel put down, discouraged, or to make you feel little or small. My intention is actually the opposite, to help you have a little peek into yourself and see what God deposited in you and see what God put in you. And it's been very difficult and a conscious decision for me to be talking about that, because these are the things that I've been practicing in my own life and I've been teaching my own kids for years to help them look at finances, jobs, and things differently. Because when we talk about this, there's enough prosperity messages that a lot of us have become even nauseated with. But that's not what I'm attempting to do. I'm attempting to unlock your capacity and ability so you can live the fullness in and the understanding of why and what God put and made in you. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for your sons and daughters. I just continue speaking blessing over them. I speak that, Father, you'll be able to explain, transcribe, interpret the little things that I've said into the greater depth and bring greater understanding in each one of them. Not only understanding, but Father, I pray that you release your grace on your sons and daughters, that they can begin to activate the seed in them. They can begin to activate the call and the purpose and the function that you placed in them. That they can begin to understand and activate your blueprints in them. That they can begin to walk and function as you intended. And Father, even as I pray, I just specifically want to pray against the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus. I bind, rebuke the spirit of poverty out of the hearts, the minds, and the homes of your sons and daughters. I release your blessing, the blessing that makes one rich and brings no sorrow. I release, Father, your goodness and your favor over your sons and daughters. I bless them, Father. You bless them, Father. Just like you commanded the priests to bless your people because you wanted your blessing to be spoken over your people over and over and over. Because every time God speaks a blessing, and this is why I'm consciously doing this, blessing you, it is to water the seed of prosperity, to water the seed of greatness, to water the seeds of the dynasty and the empire in you so it can begin to grow, germinate, and flourish, that you begin to walk in the fullness of all you were born for. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. Go be everything that the Father has put in you. Amen.